Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat are the pastors here, and you don't see them, and you see me. They're not here. That's why you don't see them. But they love you. It's their anniversary weekend, so yay for the recording for Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat. Pastor Mary Pat, 21 years, I believe it is. So happy anniversary to them when you listen to this. If you listen to this, ha ha ha. Now it's on the recording. Just kidding. So I'm going to pull a Pastor Bill. How many of you remember what I preached on the last time I preached? Come on, I looked it up. It was August 3rd. It was August 3rd. Come on, people. Ah, Darlene's got it. Darlene, what is that? The memorial stones. The stones of memorial, or whatever. Memorial stones about how God, we all got, oh, kids, yeah, sorry, kids. You are free to go to Kingdom Kids. It's weird, you get the mic and you forget about it, but when you're standing out there with your kids, you're like, please, let them go, let them go. I can't take it anymore. Go, kids. There is something about the mic and forgetting that, I think. It's. I'm usually standing out there saying, my kids are done. Hi, Gabriel, you gonna stay with us? You wanna hear this message? Yeah? Nope, he's gonna go back? All right. So we'll let the kids go as the chaos goes. So anyways, since I'm not really talking about it, last time, like I said, I talked about the stones of remembrance and how when Joshua came across the Jordan and the Lord instructed him to have each of the 12 tribes grab a stone and bring it across to set up an altar of remembrance and to remind them of what God had done to bring them into the promised land. And so it's those stones of remembrance that as we keep our eyes, remember what he has done, then we can look and see what he's going to do in the future and just know how faithful he is. So that was kind of the general heart of that, just coming from a place of gratefulness and thankfulness to what God's done. And then our God becomes so big because we keep remembering, oh God, you did this for me and this for me and this for me and this. And so you're welcome to listen to that message if you want to. It's only 10 months old. But I guarantee you that the anointed rocks that I got from the parking lot are still out there. And you can pick up a rock and take your own stone of remembrance home today if you lost yours. Mine actually sits on the dash of my Jeep. And I just pick it up here and then remind myself, yeah, that's right. Remember, Troy, remember. Remember what's doing. So I got mine in front of me still. But, all right. So, some pictures, Amber. So I have some pictures. We were on vacation last week in Hocking Hills, staying in a cabin down there with my wife's family. There were 17 of us, 9 children, 8 adults. We were only outnumbered by one. This is Isaac and Levi sharing brotherly love in the futon they got to sleep in. Yeah, Isaac did not appreciate it, so I didn't move Levi after I took pictures. But just wanted to, we can go to the next picture, Amber. And then here's our little family. This is going somewhere. If you can see, it says Hocking Hills on the one side of the shirt, and it says Joy, Laugh. I think it says B. Larson, L-A-R-S-O-N, Larson. That's us Larsons. And then it says Larson, L-A-U-R-S-E-N, Larsons, which is my wife's parents' name. And then Love Barrows, which is my brother-in-law's, you know, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law's last name. And then it says like, I don't know, family on there. So it's 3 different names, 1 family. Next picture I think might show a chunk more of the family. So this is Cantwell Cliffs. It was a lot of fun. And next picture. This does have a purpose, but it's just kind of fun to show off my family. So this is the whole, all of us that went. And it was an adventure. But we had a lot of fun. It was good bonding. So we can go to the next picture. Here is a different side of family. So we have Jordan here was teaching Isaac how to play the guitar briefly at a campfire like a week ago. So we can go on to the next picture. And we've got Andy already mentoring Elijah in the way of the soundboard, getting him trained in. He's listening there. You can just see it in the tilt of his head. He's listening in I think you just told Andy, I think you need to turn that up a little bit. Picture. Here is, if you remember from Mother's Day, we honored all the mothers and all the women in the house, future mothers and mothers in the spirit, just kind of a larger group of us. Next picture. Here's some of our family in India. This is the pastors that oversee our children's home in India. Next. This is, again, in India, Pastor Rohit, and I think that is his wife there next to him. And some of our family in Rajahmundry, in New Delhi, India, as it says in Frontline Prayer Center that's been established there. So there's a prayer center in India. Next. And this is some of our family in Indonesia. We have multiple, Indonesia, well, actually this is Singapore, I think.
No, Indonesia.
That is Indonesia, okay. Indonesia family, I wasn't on this trip. Next. And there's Pastor Murray Pat with Pastor Samuel Kwakapu from Ghana, West Africa, long-term family. We've been going to Ghana since 1999. And unfortunately, I didn't find a picture of his wife, Mama Vera, but she's amazing too. Next picture. And here's Pastor Bill with Pastor Samuel in the middle, and then two of the other now pastors. I think one was a deacon and one had just become a pastor years ago. So again, in Ghana, West Africa. Next. Here's our American family with our dear Pastor Jose and Linda, and I think Sharon Rose is somewhere in that picture. And from Mozambique, we've got a team that's leaving there next, leaving for Mozambique in just 3 weeks and 2 days. Next picture. This is some of our family in Brazil. Pastor Jose over on the right, like one over to the left in the white shirt. And then next to him in the front is Joe Kabecki, who will be meeting us in Ethiopia on our way to Mozambique to join our Mozambique team again this year. And Inez that we met two over from her, who was here ministering at Relentless Pursuit this last fall. So some of our Brazilian family next. Or is that the last one? Awesome children of mine. So... thank you for my slideshow. Lord just really put on my heart just about family and just the different families that we have. We've got our natural family. We've got our spiritual family. We've got our, extended spiritual family, the body of Christ. Last week, Carly was testifying about Cool Project and was sharing about it. It was so amazing at Cool Project, looking down, seeing all these orange shirts and like, wow, we are the body of Christ. I'm going to see all these people in heaven. We're here and we're making a big change. We're making an impact. Andy and Spencer shared about how some other people came up and said, hey, can we help with anything? And they're like, well, we can't find our keys. You could go get these supplies. Yeah, we'd love to get the supplies. And they paid for them and everything. And just seeing the extended body at large, I think it was like 16 different ministries and churches working just in the Masson area. And so getting to see that body working. So the scripture I wanted to turn to today is Romans chapter 12 to kind of highlight some of this. Obviously, we all start out in our mother's womb in Psalms 139, and we're knit together and formed, and he forms us and makes us. And there's this process in Romans 12, very familiar verses, some of these. In verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I am reading, and they're putting up, I think, in the New King James Version. I know I'm going against the NASB version that will be back soon. And it's okay. They're both versions. They're both good translations. I'm just a little more familiar with it, and I just like it. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And for I say through the grace given to me, verse 3, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And in this first part, he's just saying that we're called, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your own bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. This is a reasonable or acceptable act of worship or act of service, and that we're giving of our lives to the Lord. And it's reasonable because he gave everything for us. And this is at a personal level and a personal talk about being transformed. you know, don't be conformed to the world. Don't blend in. If we blend in, we're probably not following verse 2. And, you know, we're all in that process, to be quite frank. I mean, we're all, and day to day, sometimes we stand out more as like, wow, there's something different about you. There's a joy, there's a peace, there's a love, there's, you know, you stopped and prayed for me or at the supermarket or whatever. But, you know, that's a continual process. The Lord wants us, we're set apart, we're called to be like him, and to be transformed and have our mind renewed. And as a man thinks in his heart, so he is, you know, so we, you know, step out and do. So kind of starts off at a personal level, and then in Romans 12, he starts talking about the body. Says in, I think it's verse 4. Verse 4. Mine doesn't actually have the numbers next to it here, so I'm kind of... Verse 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And actually, I'm going to read it, just that section there in the message as well. So I will jump off to a paraphrased version. It says, in this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. And I really like this part where it says, so since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body. It's just neat. God's put this body, each of us unique, each of us individual, our own selves, and yet he blends us and knits us together just to be excellent. Excellently fashioned and formed, and to function marvelously. That's not something we can do of ourselves. And so I know a couple different times recently we've had just breakthroughs and for people in healing, and just prayer there with people just getting instantly healed a couple different times in just the last month. Just a number of different things, from legs to ears to different things. I can't remember. Sinuses, I think, and blessing on those who have some sinus things going on, and we thank the Lord for healing for that. And also, just as a side note, praying for Don Markley, for anyone who doesn't know, is in the hospital at the moment. A couple days ago, he suddenly was found unconscious in his car, and so we're praying for that. We're standing as a body, and that as we're praying and we're interceding, we're praying for Mike's mom, and just those different situations, there's places and things we're contending for. But there's so many things that we've seen God do and show himself faithful and come through, and just seen just his word being performed. And it says in Psalms 107:20 that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions or afflictions, depending on the version. So we each have a part. We each have a place in the body and have different gifts. And it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. And he just kind of goes into this whole thing about, like, what does it look like to be a Christian? What does it look like to live that out day by day? What does that look like, you know? No hypocrisy, being who we are, who he's called us to be. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. And these are things that I just really feel describes our body in so many ways, that there's so many, we're just constantly giving out to those around us, whether it's you know, on official ministry things, or just the constant testimonies we get of people just loving on people at work, or the next door neighbors, or, you know, Rachel, you know, not my Rachel, this Rachel, you know, bringing neighbors. You guys just brought your neighbor, Leland, the last 2 weeks, and reaching out to the families around where the father's like, hey, I don't even want to be a part of this, but God's going to reach that family because you guys are being faithful to, you know, just trying to reach out and love and bring Leland in and, you know, reach out to that family. So that's awesome. You know, just each of us doing that, doing our part of just stepping in, that's the heart that is in this body and in this ministry. So it's just, it's exciting. I love it. I love it. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a couple of thoughts on that whole heaping coals on the head portion about that. In Africa, it's actually a kind gesture of, man, I need fire at my place. You got fire. Can I have some coals? And they put them in a little basket on the head, and they take it off, and they can start their fire easy. So other thought is it would just drive them nuts to be friendly to someone who's mad at you. But I'd go for the heaping coals and helping someone else light their fire. Personally, we'll take that. But it says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that whole passage is just how we function individually, but as a body, of just being diligent, being fervent, loving, not persecuting those who persecute you, loving them, and not repaying evil for evil. Not, you know, letting the Lord do what he needs to do, but, you know, he's loving. He's constantly saying, you know, mercy triumphs over judgment. It's his mercy, it's his love, it's his grace, it's his faithfulness that draws us into him. It's not you know, hitting someone upside the head and saying, what were you thinking? I can't believe it. I've gotten hit upside the head a few times, but by the Lord, he's so good. So there's a couple other passages I just wanted to read. Ephesians chapter 4, 15 and 16. If you want to turn there. So it's a little warm today, and the good news for you is that I really don't think I have a long message today, so the air conditioning in the car is not far, far off. Just another hour. Shouldn't be more than an hour, I'm pretty certain. Less than an hour. So Ephesians 4, 15, and 16. I know the Ephesians Bible study is going to get to this, but I just wanted to pull this out real quick. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And that, you know, the whole body, the body of Christ, is to be joined together, knit, woven together by what every joint supplies. And I had a dog come in on Thursday. I'm a veterinarian, for those who don't know that. And I had a dog come in on Thursday that the previous Friday got hit by a car. I don't know why it took 6 days to come in. But he eventually got to us on Thursday evening late. And he had actually knocked his hip bone, his femur, had popped out of the socket from getting hit by the car, and he had bruises and cuts and whatever, but it had popped out, so the dog had been walking kind of three-legged and sort of hobbling because the bone was no longer in the hip. And the bone wasn't in the hip, obviously, because of the trauma, but there's this little ligament, and this ligament is not super strong overall. I mean, it's strong, but it's not like it doesn't have to be super, super strong, but it connects the femur into your hip bone, into your acetabulum. Everyone's talking about the acetabulum every day, I know. You know, you guys were probably walking down the road this week and said, man, my acetabulum feels good today. I can feel, and that ligament, right in the fovea, it's good. Yep. So it is a strong ligament, but it's very small. And so this dog got hit, and it popped out, and so he said, can you fix it? And I said, well, the best fix is probably to just take the head of the femur off and we just have a shorter leg and it forms a false joint and it'll be okay. Have a little bit of a limp, but he won't be in pain anymore. He said, but I really don't want to take that off. I said, well, you can do a total hip replacement for $5,000. I can't do that, but you're welcome to do that. He said, I don't have the money for that. I said, well, there's another surgery I've done once or twice, and I'm pretty sure it's only once. And in the end, I did the other procedure after I did that surgery because it didn't work, and I cut the head of the femur off, and it had the false joint, and, you know. He's like, we can save it. I want to try to save it. So Thursday night, I'm reading again on the surgery I did about 5 years ago that I have the tools for, but it, in the end, like I said, I ended up having to do a different repair to fix it anyways. But he wanted to put that ligament back in there. And so I read up again and refreshed myself and thankfully found I did still have all the equipment needed for it. And so Friday, did the surgery, and you'd be surprised to know that it took longer than it probably would have if I'd ever done it more than once before. And in the end, about 2 hours or so later, I got that ligament. You know, basically you put high expensive fishing line into the hip and toggle it in, and then you run it through a hole that I got to drill through the head of the femur and blah, blah, blah. You don't want to know all those details, probably. Blood and cartilage and whatever. But I hadn't done it much. It took a lot longer, but in the end, it came together and it looks really good, and it was jumping all around the next day, which was not good. No, not good. So we drugged him up and sedated him. So you can't do that, and said, keep him in a crate for 2 weeks. But see, the thing that ligament's strong, but it's not as strong as it would need to be because it's not by itself. Because all those muscles in the leg are also attached to the hip, and they're holding that leg in there. If it was just that one ligament holding it in, it'd fall. We'd all have our hips out of socket. We'd be walking around like Jacob. Both hips would be out. But all the muscles are also drawing that leg, keeping it in tight, and holding it there so you can move. And as I said, as you're walking down the road, you don't usually have to think, how's my acetabulum doing? And hey, ligament, you're holding up pretty good. Probably don't. Although I heard that Justin, I think it was, after the he did a half marathon because Jordan couldn't recently, and he said, man, my hips are so sore. He was thinking about it. It's through working together all the muscles and the ligaments and stuff that keeps it in there, that keeps it in that proper place and that proper position so it can function properly. And that's what God's called us as a body. You know, I believe there's just a new release of increased unity. It's been here, but it's growing, of just unity in the spirit, unity of the body, as we're working together to do the cool project and, you know, go out into the, you know, into the world and take the kingdom to the world. And it says, preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Jesus did. It says he went, you know, all around Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. That's what Jesus did. And so that's what we've been seeing here, even, you know, more. We've had it before, and there's just a new wave of just healing and release and people coming to the kingdom, people accepting the Lord on the street or at First Friday, or just the Justine at Cool Project getting her back, I think it was, healed. I was listening to the message from last week, and it's like, wow, that's awesome. I really wanted to be there, but we were a little far away. Just seeing how the body comes in, you know, in the good times of seeing that and just celebrating those testimonies and like Cameron getting drafted and just all those good things. And then also in times that aren't as good, you know, where we're contending for faith, for healing, we're contending for life, with Don Markley, Mike's mom, you know, other situations we've all had, and just coming through and saying, look what God has done so many times. And he's so faithful in the end, no matter what. But on a personal level, one of the times that this body demonstrated the most to Rachel and I as a couple was actually before Isaac was even born. We were pregnant, and we were about 3 months pregnant, and we went in on a Wednesday morning for our first ultrasound just to see the heartbeat and have a joyous day. And we went in, and they kind of do the ultrasound, and then they kind of go out, and they kind of come back in with someone else, and they said, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your baby's not alive. And there's no heartbeat. And, you know, we can see here, you know, that we're pregnant, but your baby's not alive. And it was, we're like, what? What are you talking about? This is our happy visit. You know, first child, heartbeat, happy visit. And you know, I just, as we got out of that office and said, Lord, I know, Lord, you know, you can bring life to the womb. No, you can bring life there. And just, you know, ask the Lord for that. But I just remember driving, crying so hard that I needed windshield wipers for my eyes. And she's like, do we need to pull over? Because I could hardly see. I was just crying so much as we left the office. You know, as we started on the road, it didn't really hit me till we were going. Like, they just told me. And it just so shocked. It was so shocking and everything. Called, you know, my parents and called the pastors. And we ended up stopping by their house on the way home and just received prayer. And, you know, just praying and saying, Lord, we want to see this turn. We've heard testimonies. We've seen where God's brought life back to the womb. We've had that happen in this ministry just about 2 or 3 years ago in Mozambique, where a lady hadn't felt her baby move for months. And suddenly, as Pastor Mary Pat was praying, I think she shared that testimony recently, the baby jumped and came back to life, and the woman testified about it. Even the next day, the baby's just moving all over, and there's life. That day, I didn't go into work as I was supposed to, and you know, as we're praying and stuff, we had an outreach at Mount Union, at what's used to be Mount Union College at that time. It's now the UMU, University of Mount Union, but that Rachel and I were heading up, and so I went out. I don't think we both went, that's right. We both went out there, and it was, I think it was a euchre tournament, which trying to reach out and connect with the people there, and a couple people knew, but we didn't really tell anyone because we wanted the folks to be on what the outreach was, and we could have not gone. It wasn't striving. It was just, Lord, we're contending, and you had us here, you knew this was going to happen, but we want to see what you want to do at Mount Union. It's not because we're amazing, it's just, that's what you're doing, Lord, we're going to go there. And so about 10 o'clock, we kind of left just before it was over and turned it over to the people who were there. I think Mike and some others were there. Amanda, I think you were there at the euchre tournament. Do you remember it? So we left there about 10 o'clock at night and went to the Goki's house, to Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat's house, and there were about 15 or 20 of our friends there, and they had met earlier on and were just praying and asking the Lord and interceding on our behalf and praying for the Lord's best in the situation and whatever he wants to do. And it would just, you know, when I got I got a text message about Don Markley, and it just, every time I get those things about opportunities within the body to pray for people, it just takes me back to that night where, you know, just the love, the support, the prayer, the we're with you no matter what happens, of just the unity of the body in that just stirs me up in praying. And Lord, he's part of our body. You know, Don is part of our body. He is, you know, what he's released. And I was looking back August 3rd at the message that I gave 10 months ago, and Don Markley had a word regarding our land from Mozambique. And, you know, and I'll share that in a minute, but I just always remember that. And, you know, in the end of that, about, you know, as we prayed and got before the Lord and soaked before him, and, you know, over the next few days, they said it was, you know, a missed miscarriage where we had miscarried, but the baby had not come out of the uterus, and so that they wanted to do a procedure to do that. And it was just really hard to decide what to do, how to do that, not do that. And as I went to the Lord, and one night, it's kind of a sort of funny story, not funny funny, but I was tired of soaking. I was sick of Jason Upton. And we'd been soaking, and I just need to go. I'm going to the grocery store. So I went to Giant Eagle, and I came out, and I called Pastor Mary Pat, and just, you know, said, I just, you know, we're supposed to have this procedure tomorrow. I just don't have a whole piece about it. You know, is there more that I'm supposed to be contending for? Or, Lord, you know, we've contended, but this isn't going to happen for this time and this season. And so I'm walking around through the 30th Street Giant Eagle parking lot over where the other restaurants are and stuff, as I'm talking to her for about a half hour or whatever. And you know, and she just says, you know, just ask the Lord, Troy. Just ask him, where's your child? And the Lord had given us a name for the child, and you know, just in this process. And so anyways, you know, ask the Lord, and you know, is my child with you? Is he up in heaven? Is that where he's at? And I just hear this clear word. I just heard yes from the Lord. And I began to cry fresh and new. And I'm not the most frequent crier, but I'm a frequent flyer, but not a frequent crier. So I frequently fly overseas, but not frequently cry. My wife's always like, you cried and I didn't see it? What? that's how infrequent it is. There's not, it's not that I'm wounded or anything. I just don't cry too often, except for things that really hit me deep. But I'm just crying, and it's kind of like it was like a release, and I could finally mourn the loss of our child. And as I do that, the spotlight from the police car shows up on me, and the two squad cars pull up, and they get out. They're like, "Excuse me, sir, we heard there was someone wandering around in front of the buildings looking distressed." And I'm on the phone with Pastor Mary Pat, I'm like laughing, crying, like, "The police are here. They want to know what I'm doing." So I'm like, "That's, you know," I explain the situation, and they say, "Oh, you should probably go home." I'm like, "Okay, I'll do that." So I was like, "Oh, Lord," comic relief, you know, even in such, but it was such a release. And even before we went in for the procedure that next morning where I had that release, we began to have that, the natural miscarriage took place. So it was the grace of the Lord, even in that just before that took place. For us, and it was, you know, obviously we've, you know, been able to have children, four of them, since then, and, you know, the Lord's blessed, and, you know, but that place of just, you know, this body and the body of Christ, it was people outside of this body too being there, but at 10 o'clock or so at night, on a Wednesday night, people have to work the next day, they've already been there meeting and praying for a bit, and, you know, because we were later getting out of Mount Union, and they probably had been told we'd be there at 9, but we were there about 10 or so. You know, just one of those things that's just in my heart of just, this is bad, this is not good, but I am loved, we are loved, our family is loved, we've got people who've got our back, and that's what the body of Christ is about. It's about, you know, loving him, being connected to him, and he's got our back. And the body, as a body, we have each other's back, and just kind of really coming in, there's so many different things. If I just said, everyone got a testimony of that, and we would be here till next Sunday, I think. Wow. They found something. Sorry, I just couldn't help what the kids were. But, you know, if we had everyone come up here and testify of what the body of Christ has done to step in and this body, we would be here for a really long time because it's... we're very tightly connected. We're knitted together for joint, and those ligaments are tight, so the leg stays in, and the fingers stay connected, and we don't have a toe or a finger that's chopped off and not functioning because it's not there. You know, we just, you know, trust the Lord that he grafts in and brings in the people to be all the parts needed. You know, and so in this, you know, I mean, obviously we know the scripture, Psalms 91, about how the Lord's with us and how one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. And, you know, as angels are watching over us and just the exponential power that's there that God gives, you know, in that expression as a body of Christ, as a family. And, you know, God's a family, as the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, just how he's one. John 17 talks about that, you know, how Jesus is in the Father, and the Father's in him, and we're in Jesus, and we're all together, and we're all unified. And that's how the body's supposed to be unified, connected. And so it's amazing and fun when we have these projects like Cool Project or like GG9, God Likes Me, reaching out to the LGBT community and stuff, and the Wailing Wall Project, that you can see the signs of just the people we're interceding and praying for and leaving this up here for whatever length of time the Lord leads, but to continue to just pray over these people and see, you know, transformation, see lives change, see people come out of darkness, and, you know, and each other, praying for each other, lifting up each other. We're all in that process. We're all traveling along, but we can do it a lot better together. So 1,000 may fall at your side. I guess it's in 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes will you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. And it's because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, that we would dwell in his presence. And that's the key of just this whole thing, is just being in his presence, being with him, staying connected in the body, being able to encourage each other. And, you know, when we're down, being able to reach out and you know, say, "Hey, I need some help," you know, as we did, and just, you know, had a great response from people. And last week, Pastor Mary Pat preached about mountain leveling faith and about how, you know, God's just releasing that in the body and, you know, in through this body, and that we're seeing mountains moved, and that as we see that. It's because of the unity. It's because we're coming together. We're praying for each other. We're praying for the nations. We're reaching out, that we're seeing that. And so it just kind of keeps going beyond that. And what Don Markley, going back to Don Markley, he had said, we have land in Mozambique along the sea that the Lord's given us, and the chief of that area to develop, and that's still in process. But, you know, there were pillars that were set at the four corners of that land this last time when we went last summer. It was the first time we had the land. It's like, this land, you know, like, this is your land. What is it exactly? So then there were pillars that marked it, and we saw a couple of them, and we shared about that. And he said, we are all a testament of what God has done. Don't forget it. This is Don sharing ownership of that land, whether it be revelation or testimony. He said, there's more than ownership. The markers, he said, point and say, look what God has done. Yes. Look what God has done. It's all about that. Look what God has done. And in our life, he's constantly saying, look and see what I've done. Look and see what I've done. And so sometimes I'll be driving Levi to school, and there's a season he really didn't want to go to school this year. Don't know why. And so we were decided that along the way here, we were memorizing Psalms 119:24. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so I'd ask Levi, what's today? Tuesday? No, what else? Yep, what else is today? We're going to Judah's house. What else is today? Oh, this is the day the Lord has made. You know, he's like, after we'd done it like for a couple weeks on end, he was catching on. He's like, yes, this is the day the Lord has made. Yeah, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, right, Levi? Yes. And, you know, this is the day that he has made. That we each day we rejoice in that, those days. And each day, even no matter what's happening, whether it's the praises and the wonderful testimonies or whether it's the obstacles and the challenges where we need that mountain-leveling faith, if you haven't listened to that message and weren't here last week, listen to it. It was really good. Putting a plug in. But looking at what God has done. So one last passage I just want to share, and then we're going to kind of have an early day, like I said. I did mean it. In John, not that it's about an early day, it's just... Not in the message. New King James. John chapter 4. It's talking about, it's the passage where it talks about the Samaritan woman at the well that Jesus meets, and he's already talking to her. It's just wrong because she's not Jewish. And I think Pastor Bill or Pastor Mary Pat preached about it recently, or Lawrence, someone, one of those pastors. And, oh, he's outside. He didn't hear that. I heard it. So it goes past that, and he says, you know, the woman says, I know that the Messiah is coming, verse 25. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And it says his disciples came back and they had this whole discussion back and forth. But I just feel like part of what the Lord wants to speak today is just there's a call to the harvest field, fresh and new. There's a call that's coming. There's a rising that's happening in this season. We've got two major events coming up, but they're not events. It's all about... Well, we've got like four major events coming up, actually, if you think about it. You know, there's a rising up, and just a reminder today in my heart is that, you know, we're unified. We're a body. God's put us together, joined us to link arms and to go forward and just kind of see his kingdom come, see his will be done on earth as it is in heaven this summer, not just a summer off, summer break, summer, oh my goodness, the kids are home if your kids are in school. But... He says, verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for there is summer celebration. There is the adventure in the park, whatever it's called. There's the trip to Mozambique. There's the Jackson celebration. Anyways, there's, you know, look at the fields. There's your work, there's your home, there's your family. For they are already white for harvest, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Yes. For eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And then the whole city comes to the Lord. The lady brings everyone out. The whole city comes to the Lord. But you know, we're joining in, and that's part of the body. We haven't, there are those that we're going to reap and bring them into the kingdom and bring them on, and there's those that we are just sowing, we are watering, we are, you know, removing the weeds, we're releasing life. And so that's just on my heart for today to bless you with. So if we could just stand, I want to close in prayer. And if anyone needs any specific prayer beyond whatever happens in the next few minutes, be glad to pray with anyone. If there's any, you know, health needs or anything, maybe even as a body, we could just, we'll do that in just a minute if anyone has any specific health needs. And I also want to lift up Don Markley specifically. But Father, we just thank you that you've called us as a body to worship you. You've called us as a body to be in love with you, to lay it all down for you, to be a living sacrifice, because this is our reasonable act of worship, our reasonable act of service. Lord, you've called us to live like that as laid down lovers who go out, as Heidi Baker says, who soak and go, who get in your presence and take your presence to the world, because if you're not with us, it's just a bunch of words, a bunch of religion. We want you, Lord. We want your presence with us. We want more of you. We cry out for that, Lord. We cry out for more of you, Lord. More of you. And we thank you, Lord, for this place and this body that you've joined us in, this area, this region. As we've been contending with other churches in the region for transformation and revival, Lord, we thank you for that. We invite revival. We say, come, Holy Spirit, come and fill this region. Come and fill our nation, Father. Come and fill the nations. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you in this body for the opportunities coming up, Lord, that our hearts will be stirred up to see how we can jump in, not because we have to or we should, but because there's an opportunity to see your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Everyone in heaven knows you. Everyone in heaven knows how awesome you are. Everyone in heaven knows the amazing love that you have and the freedom that's in you. Lord, that we have that opportunity to bring it down to earth here. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. And that we would be changed. We'd be transformed, Lord. That our thinking would be renewed. Lord, that it comes from the enemy. Anything that comes from our own flesh and our own weaknesses, Lord. Anything of negativity, Lord. That we just say no to that. And we just step into you and we say, yes, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Not just as we worship and sing words, but Lord, we're connecting with you and we're declaring that and we're living that out. We're choosing it every day. I just thank you for that, Lord, that we contend for each other, with each other, Lord, that we'd be quick to pray for one another. We'd be quick to notice and be sensitive to your spirit when someone needs an encouraging word, Lord, that we continue in that, that we grow in that. Thank you for that. And Lord, that we'd be so captured by your heart, Lord, which is for the harvest, Father. It's for the harvest. It's to bring people into the kingdom, into the family, that our family would grow and grow and grow, not just Frontline Worship Center body, this body, Lord, but the around the world, Lord, growing, thriving, that you would just have your way, Lord. So we just ask for that, and we ask for a fresh infilling of your spirit, Lord, a fresh hunger for your presence, a fresh fire in our hearts, Lord, that we get over ourselves, Lord. We get over any shyness we have. We get over any hang-ups that we have, but Lord, we would just know that you are good, and this is the day that you have made, that we can rejoice and be glad in it, because you are the Lord and you made it. No matter what's going on, we rejoice and we praise your name, and we thank you, Lord, for each of those things you've done in our heart, Lord, for all those stones that you've put in, Lord, those times where you've come and rescued us from ourselves. You've rescued us from the enemy. You've rescued us from the pit, Lord. Thank you for that. And Lord, I just thank you as we agree together right now for Don Markley, Lord. And we speak life over Don, Lord. To my knowledge, you don't know exactly what happened or what's going on, Lord. But Lord, that he passed out and maybe had a seizure. And Lord, that there was some low blood pressure. So we just speak to his heart and we say, be whole. We speak to his blood pressure, say, be normal. We speak to his mind, be clear. We speak to his hearing and say, be whole. Lord, we thank you for full life and we take it back, Father, with interest. We thank you for complete restoration in his body, Lord. Strengthen his back, Lord. Strengthen his muscles, Lord. We just pray for him and we just thank you for life flowing into him right now. Be healed, Don, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be healed. in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for healing in Mary's body as well as we've been contending with her, Lord. We thank you for a good report, Lord. We thank you that where they're not sure if it's going away, that we say, be gone in Jesus' name. Life in Mary as well, Father. Life in Mary Teresa, Mike's mother. We thank you for life for her, Lord. We thank you for that liver to be switched out and for a new liver in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We just stand in that gap. We stand in the gap. We release life. Life, life, life right now in Jesus' name. If anyone has any sickness in your body, just raise your hand and let's just gather around the people who are struggling right now. Let's just pray for each other. Go find anyone whose hand's raised up. Just get around them. Lay hands on them. Unless they're like sliming you, then you can pray afterwards. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the sickness goes in each person, Lord. Any place there's weakness, there's lack, Father God, whether it's something that's been going on for a long time or a short time, you're the same God today as you were yesterday, as you will be tomorrow. That Jesus, you went around teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and all manner of sickness, all manner of disease were healed. We thank you for that. Wherever you went, wherever you go, wherever you are, Jesus, there's life and healing. Life and healing. So thank you for that life and healing being released right now. Right now. Thank you, Lord. Life and healing.
Life and healing.
Life and healing, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. As we just pray for one another, we just thank you, Lord. It's the body coming together, the joints connected together, the ligaments and tendons connected properly, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for life, releasing life, Father God, cleansing of sinuses, Father, healing of hearts, healing of backs, Father God, healing of any kind of depression or emotional struggles or hardships there, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you give people a sound mind. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We thank you for that soundness. We thank you for that wholeness right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's all about you. It's all about what you can do and what you're doing right now. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Father. We just bless Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat as well on their anniversary. We just thank you for their marriage. We bless them with safe travels, Lord, and just your leading, your wisdom all through this trip, Lord. Just thank you, Father, for people coming into the kingdom. And, Lord, we do continue to pray for this region, for Rick Pino coming in and what that's going to release in this area, in this region, Lord, and in our body, Father, and what you want to do through the First Fridays, through Jackson's celebration at Heartland, Father God, that you are just releasing new life there. As was just testified last week, there were 3 salvations at Heartland, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you for healing of minds there at Heartland in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we bless your name. You are good. You are good. You are good. And, Father, as we go out from here, Lord, that we would remember that we carry your presence. We carry your truth. We carry your spirit. Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus, grab someone and we'll pray with you. Because it's that easy. He loves us and wants relationship. Thank you, Lord. Hey, feel free to keep praying for anyone. Just check and find out if you know they're seeing any changes, if there's any difference in it, whatever they're struggling with. And Lord, we love you. So I just release you and love to see you back on Tuesday night for Fire and Wind. And bless you. So thankful to be a part of this family, this body. And remember, it's the day the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. So allow the Lord to do that personal transformation, even as he's doing it as a body, as we're knitting closer together. Love you all very, very, very much. Bless you.